Well, Andy will be a tough act to follow, but we have just the man. But before I introduce him, some of you may wonder why Laura Huxley is not here tonight. She had a crisis in her family that arose rather close to this date, and so she was unable to be here tonight. It's a great pity because she was to represent femininity and the goddess, which is certainly a central concern for anyone who is sensitive to the psychedelic issue. In fact, one way of looking at what psychedelics do is they simply dissolve the male ego and allow a more natural constellation of the psyche to show through. And speaking of natural, I now want to introduce a man who it was always my great fear I might someday have to introduce. A man who is a legend in his own right. A man who speaks across the species line to the denizens of the deep sea and across the stellar barrier to the denizens of distant stars. Like myself, an altar boy in his youth, a man who has given new meaning to the concept enfant terrible. We can say of him, they threw the mold away before they made him. No, I love to tease him. I love to watch him. The Obi-Wan Kenobi of psychedelic research, John C. Lilly.
Dominus vobiscum. Ite missa est. Go, the mass is over. My psychedelic experience started about age 7, when I had visions of God on his throne, angel choir, and so on. And I told a nun about this in the Catholic school I was attending. And she said, oh, but only saints have visions. And she abolished me being a saint, which was a good idea. It wasn't until about 1953, when I was at the National Institute of Mental Health, and the LSD pushers got after me, that I heard about LSD. So I read all the literature, and I invented the isolation tank in 1954, and I was floating around the tank. People wanted me to take LSD and experience what that was like in the tank. I said, no, I have to get a physiological baseline, being a proper scientist, a physiological baseline on me as an observer. So I floated around for 10 years, in spite of the pushers on both coasts. And in 1964, I finally decided, well, it's time to take it. So I came to California, had 2 trips, and then got Sidney Cohen to give me some. And I went to St. Thomas and Virgin Islands and floated in an isolation tank there. It was an 8-foot cube of seawater. I was scared stiff, absolutely terrified. And I injected 300 micrograms of Dr. Hoffman's elixir intramuscularly and floated in the tank. And suddenly I was precipitated out to the farthest reaches of all the universes that exist. Well, I didn't remain human at all. I stayed out there for about 6 hours, and then I was squeezed back into the body that was lying in the tank, and I cried. I couldn't stand it. Why should this happen? Why become so limited as being human? Well, since then I've spent many years trying to be human. And some women think I'm successful. Others do not. And I'm still trying, at age 73, to get my feet on the ground and my torso in the bed. It's fun, and all I can say is that anybody that uses the word drugs, ought to have their heart and their soul examined. There is no such thing as drugs. There's no such thing as illegal drugs. They're only chemicals. They can change the molecular configuration within the brain itself, and hence change who you are and where you're going and where you've come from. This is a profound experience. I've written up as much of it as I can in books, but I don't want it as much as could be published. Please speak louder. You can't turn the mic up any higher. So.
He has a boss.
Well, the DEA ought to know about this meeting tonight and round you all up and put you in jail. Our Drug Enforcement Agency is staffed by lawyers and ex-judges and so on. And I don't think they know what the score is. Somebody said on TV the other day, the drug problem ought to be turned over to the Surgeon General and taken away from the Attorney General. I think that the laws ought to be changed in the light of new knowledge, of new views, such as all of you have experienced, and we ought to pressure these people to get educated in what it is to take LSD, what it is to take cocaine, and so on. None of these substances have been treated as the way a proper researcher would treat them, working on himself. I was brought up by a student of J.B.S. Haldane, who laid down to his students that if you are going to do experiments on any human subject, you must be your first subject. So I went through various things like explosive decompression and so on, and I started my LSD work alone, and I've continued my work with ketamine alone. The isolation tank is a marvelous place for the scientific observer to look at the chaos within himself and not attribute it to something else. However, I wish to point out also that I've experienced intelligences far greater than mine or any human, and I call them the Earth Coincidence Control Office, ECHO, E-C-C-O. They're very profound, and they're monkeying around with everybody, and me especially, and taught me many, many things, whether I liked it or not. For example, when I take ketamine, or have taken ketamine in the past, they take charge. And I went to the UCLA Medical Library and read up on the psychotherapeutic use of ketamine, a psychedelic anesthetic. And there's a Iranian paper, in which they treated 100 subjects in the hospital, and they all got out of the hospital with one treatment. They used what was called anxiety provocation. They'd give the person the ketamine and then scare him to death. And of course, they abandoned their neurosis or psychosis or whatever. Well, I read that one afternoon, came home and lay down on a mattress in my living room and took 200 milligrams of ketamine. It's a fairly large dose. And suddenly, the Earth Coincidence Control Office precipitated me into the year 3000, and they removed my penis by bloodless methods and handed it to me. So I screamed in terror, and my wife, Tony, came in from our bedroom and said, "Oh, it's still attached. Look." So I looked up at the ceiling and I said, "Who's in charge up there? A bunch of psychotic kids?" The answer came back, "No, you were over at UCLA today reading about anxiety provocation in order to cure one of an unconscious conflict. That was your unconscious conflict, and we brought it out for you. Well, I don't know why this isn't being used in psychotherapy the way LSD has been. I suspect it's because psychotherapists don't like to be scared to death. Or don't like to see people being very badly frightened. And they also don't like to see them get well because then they lose their income. I learned long ago that one is a psychotherapist until one is cured of one's own diseases. I'm still not cured. Well, I must say, I want to tell you a story that I told this afternoon about me and Albert Hoffman. I first met him in 1977 at the University of California in Santa Cruz. He gave a night lecture, and the students cheered everything he said, including when he said, "I'm not a guru, I'm a Swiss chemist." After his talk, they had a reception, and with my knees shaking and sweat breaking out of my brow, I walked through the line and reached out and to shake his hand, and I said, "I'm John Lilly." He grabbed my hand, both of his, and he said, "You are? I just finished Center of the Cyclone, and our experiences were very parallel." And I thought to myself, God bless it, I wish you had written that up in 1943 and it would save us a lot of trouble.